from the two-story building on the southeast corner of the present Moy grounds. And I'm speaking with Mr. Victor Tundry, who attended that school, and he's in the midst of a story that he's telling about sliding down the post after Sister Marcella put him in the classroom.
So I decided, well, I'll go down the post again. So I did, but when I got close to the first floor, I felt a stinging pain on the bottom of my feet. Sister Marcella was waiting for me with a switch. She said, "Did you really think I was that stupid?" So that's the way it went. And not one famous saying she used to have when she couldn't get something across to us, she would say, "Dumm heid und stolz wachst auf einem Holz." That means pride and stupidity grows on the same wood.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about that day, Victor. First of all, you said that there were the whole school was really right there in that one building. Now, how many classrooms were downstairs?
Two
classrooms downstairs, and there was only one classroom upstairs. So y'all were basically divided into three rooms,
yes.
Right? Okay. Now, were the classes, you were there, you started school in what year again?
20.
In 1920, and you were there for 4 years until the new school opened, or 5 years.
Yes.
I think the new school opened, the new St. Louis school in 1925. Now, were the classes given in English or German or both or what?
Well, the first 2 years we had German catechism and German reader. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they did away with the German. And they started the English.
They did away with all the teaching in German in 1922,
yes.
Then, huh?
Yes.
Right. But you started out going to school in German and
yes.
English, right?
Yeah.
And so there must have been like two or three classes or grades in one room.
Oh, yes, yes.
Or did you have Sister Marcella all the way through, or did you have any other teachers?
No, I had other teachers.
Can you remember any of their names?
I remember Sister Foster. But I don't remember any of the other ones except Sister Marcella. She stayed in my mind all my life.
All right, you remember her not only in your mind, but a couple of other parts of you,
yeah.
Right?
All right? She was my instructor for Solemn Communion.
That would have been some years later on.
Well, that was in 25.
Oh, in 25. You would have been in about the fifth grade.
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. Father Heckman was the priest there at
yes.
That time, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Was it you that told me the story once about Brother Heckman and Sister Marcella and something over in the sacristy, or was that somebody else?
No, I don't think
it must have been somebody else, something about the host. I remember somebody told me one of those stories. You served Mass during those days for
yes.
Brother Heckman?
Yes.
Right. All right. Everything I've heard about Brother Heckman has been that he was a very kind...
Yes, he was a good man.
Did he used to come over to the school very often?
Oh yes, and he had a lot of the religious instructions for Solemn Communion.
Mm-hmm.
And he was stern too, but he was a good, kind man.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, right next door to the St. Louis school there on the Moy grounds, you said a seminary was going on at that time, the Oblates.
Yes, the Oblates Father.
Was that the whole time that you were going to school there?
Yes.
Did y'all have any contact with them except when the ball went over the fence? Do you remember anything about the seminary?
Well, that's about all I remember. They had their playground was down here where, you know, right where Mr. Diggs had his house.
Yes, right.
That whole block was their playground. We always went down there to watch them play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We were always down there when they were playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of contact with them.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Victor. Can you mention the names of some of the other people that were in your class, some of the other boys and girls that were in your class about that time?
Oh, yes. There was Joe Holt, Joe Kwan, Tommy Fry, George Noonan, Ernest Tuhart, Leon Brookwood was in there, and Joe Eftley, and Alfred Eftley, And Mrs. Freddie Jaggy, she's deceased, Mrs. Floyd Havy, and a lot of other ones. I just can't call all their names at the present.
Have you?
Yes, Mrs. Wilford Chilhart was one. Pearly Biediger, Mrs. Oscar Biediger, she was Pearly Chilhart. And Baby Halberdier, she's now Mrs. Elton Schott. And Harvey Hand. George Hosehouse.
If you had to sum up what your impressions of those early days of school were, it sounded like y'all had a lot of fun. And you were not a big bunch of kids. And Victor, here it is now, 50 years later, more than 50 years ago since you started the school. How would you look back on those early days, the Sister Marcella in St. Louis School on the Moy Ground?
Well, I went to the Lady of the Lake Cemetery here some time ago, and I looked up her grave. And when I found it, I said a prayer, and I felt real sad about poor Sister Marcella. But I knew that she had gone to heaven, because if any sister ever tried any harder to make good boys out of a bunch of kids like we were, while she was it.
She was it.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful tribute to her.
I say that people say that she was rough, but she was just as kind as she was rough. And I think we need a little more of that in our schools right now. That's what's wrong with a lot of our kids, that they don't have any discipline. We had discipline. We tried to get by with things, but we never did.
Victor, I want to thank you very much. This is Father Larry Stevens speaking with Victor Tanzi, and the date of this conversation is the 13th of June 1974, the Feast of St. Anthony. I'm still speaking with Victor Tanzi, and Victor speaks Alsatian. Most of the people of Alsatian background, whose guests were who are, oh, say 40 years and older, would speak Alsatian. A lot of the younger people don't. In fact, very few people under 30 would, and practically no one under 20. But Victor speaks Alsatian, and I'm going to ask him to say something, whatever he wants to say in Alsatian, as a greeting to those who would be listening to this tape.
Well, I'll start with this bilingual situation. Und heute Englisch lasen und nichts. Alles, was ich gewusst habe, ist Elsassisch. Dann haben sie angefangen mit dem Deutsch, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Ja, schon, das ist jetzt Deutsch. Dann haben wir also wieder Elsassisch reingebracht. Dann hat Marcella, der Schwester Marcella, gesagt, nein, nicht so, A, B, C, D, E. But that goes to show that when I went to school, I couldn't talk any English. All we spoke was Alsatian. We didn't have any special bilingual classes to teach us to catch up with the rest of the guys, like the Irishman you heard before that already knew how to speak English.
This is Father Larry Stephen, and I'm speaking with Mr. Howard Shearhart of Castroville, who also attended the school, St. Louis School, located on the Moy Grounds. And Mr. Shearhart is going to tell us some of his experiences while he was going to school there. What year were you born, Howard?
I was born there in 1904.
And you started the school in what year?
I started school when I was 6 years old. I started college school.
Oh, you began school at La Paz.
We just laid down that.
Were the sisters teaching over there,
too? No, we had public school.
Public school. All right, and then what year did you move here to Castroville?
I went to school 2 years there, and then we moved up here after 2 years. So I was about 8 years old.
Okay. And so you would have been maybe like in the third grade when you began?
About in the third grade.
Now, who were some of the sisters that taught you through the years there at the St. Louis School?
The sisters was Sister Filipina, was one of them. And this sister on this picture here, I believe her name is Vincent. I'm not too sure, though. That was another one.
Okay, all right.
And then later on, when I got up in the hall, I went to the sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And then I used myself a lot of time, taught us geography. So, you know, they changed off the certain...
So you knew Sister Marcella, too?
Oh, yeah, I knew her well.
All right, now, as you know, as you remember back to those days, like when you first began school, I think you told me once you only spoke Alsatian.
That happened in Lacau when I started school there. Well, those kids that I went to school with, they speak Alsatian too. And some of them were still down there.
Well, what did you do in school if everybody else was speaking English in school and you only spoke Alsatian?
I said that just like a dummy. I didn't know what they were talking about. When I come home, Mama said, well, the next day, how was school? I said, no good. Why? I said, I don't know what them people talk about. He said, that's what you go to school for, to learn.
How long did it take you to start learning English then?
Not too long. I'm not about 3-4 weeks. Mm-hmm.
That quick?
Yeah.
All right, now, by the time you got to St. Louis School, were the classes all in English, or was it English and,
no,
and German? Or?
Well, after you got to the fourth grade, they had a German reason and they had a translation book from English to German. And we learned catechisms when we went to communion, and the Bible was all German.
All German.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. German. We had no English Bible and no English catechism.
So you had to, when you went to school, you had to learn English to start with, and then you had to learn German, too, because you didn't know German.
No, German. I didn't know. We knew what it was, but German, mm-hmm. We didn't know.
I've often said this to you. You're one of the best linguists here in Castroville. Right now you speak German, yes. Is that right? Don't you speak some German?
I speak German, yeah, when right. I get around German people.
Okay,
yeah.
And you speak Alsatian.
Yeah.
And you speak Spanish very well. I've heard you speak Spanish very well. How did you learn Spanish?
When we was kids, we had Dad always had Mexican families living on the place, and they had kids, and we about picked it up from them.
Mm-hmm.
When we were small, before we went to school.
Even? So when you went to school, you already knew Alsatian and Spanish.
I could talk Spanish, but the English was out of my class. I couldn't do that with that.
All right, very good. Well, can you remember anything that happened at school, interesting kinds of stories that happened? You're one of the best storytellers in our whole town, Howard. Some of those things that happened when you were a kid in school.
Well, I tell you one time, where the Murray is now, where the sister's lived, that was the convent, as they called it that time. And that's where they lived all the time. And they had a barn back there. It's somewhere right across from that old rock reef house in the back. Murray was behind on that lot somewhere. And they had a two-story barn there. And they had 4 horses and a hack and a 2-seated bucket. And Lord Ellis was the caretaker. He worked for the nuns over there. And these nuns all lived in that convent. And so the Lord take care of these horses, and when they wanted to go to San Antonio to the lake, old Lord took them in a hack as many as had room or as many as rent and took them to town with the horses. Mm-hmm. Drove them to San Antonio and then brought them back again. I don't know whether they come back the same day or the next day, that I don't know. But anyhow, they had a lot of stray pigeons like you had in the sketch here a while back. And they were in the book or something. And I don't know, some of these boys in down there and now they left those and the sisters and the
second story in that barn and did us a bunch of preaching.
So they did. And I know all of them that was there, but they found out the next day.
The case is closed, incidentally. It's been so many years that never can be brought to trial, so if you want to mention their names, it's all right.
Well, some of them are dead, and they say you couldn't talk about dead ones. How about another man? But anyhow, that was Saturday night, and all that went on. And they was in the barn with flashlights, and John Fulmer lived over there, right behind the smoke I'm feeling, where that new doctor lived. That was Mr. Fulmer out, and he heard him, that somebody was in the barn. So he took his shotgun and he went over there, and they had a picket fence along there, you know. He tried picket fence. And he seen there was somebody, but he didn't know who they were. So he took the shotgun, he shot it. I shot over the building off in the air, you know. And they come down from the top story in that building, in the barn, and started running towards the fence. They didn't know where the shot come from. And Fulmer was standing at the fence, and when he seen them come, he ducked, you know, and here they come. Jumped over the picket fence, and one got hung with it. One of his knee pants, you know, got hung in the one of the pickets with his hands, and he hung it. And old Fulmer grabbed him, and he said, "I got you," and he twisted the way from. And they all ran up to the cemetery. I don't know why, but that's the ride they took.
With pigeons and all.
Well, they dropped now the pigeons and laying everywhere.
How many sisters were living in the convent at that time? Do you have any idea? Was it like the ones that taught at school? But were there any others living there? Was
well,
there a boarding school going on?
There was a camp boarding. The little baby Camille shot live up here. She boarded here when she made a communion, I know.
Right. These were older girls who came and lived at the convent, huh?
Well, they had. They went to school, some of them there. There's the two of them on that picture that went to school. But other than that, they didn't hear. There was no girls learning to be nuns here. There was just the teachers, these teachers were here, and then they had their cooks, and they had their gardeners, they had the nuns that was the farmers, and then they had a music teacher, basically a Doga was her name. I remember that because I held a violin for the music keeper, Hugo Burger, one time when he was playing on the stage. On the end of the school there, in the stage in the convent there, that was our entertainment hall there, where they sang the songs that they knew, My Country Tis of Thee, and stuff like that.
Now, tell me a little bit of what the grounds looked like in those days. Now, the school was on the southeast corner, the two-story school that you went to. Was there a fence around that then?
On this side, on the north side of the building, where the porch is there, on
yes,
this side, about 12, 15, or maybe 20 feet from there, there was a solid board fence went all the way across. Back then, with these 1x12s, stand up. And it was about 12 foot high.
Wow, that was a pretty good size then.
And the girls was on this side of that board fence, and the boys was on that side. You couldn't even look through a crack and look at a girl. And Sister Michelle was on the boys' side. Once in a while she'd walk over. And some of the other nuns, in recess time, they'd walk around in the amongst the kids.
What did y'all do for recess?
For recess, we had a racetrack on that street fence there that goes behind Bob's Morgan all the way down. But see, that gate wasn't there.
Yeah. And the highway wasn't there either.
No, that lock run all the way down to the back end. And we had a racetrack there 100 yards long.
So y'all ran races?
We ran foot races and about 3, 4, 5 miles. I can beat you or... I can beat him, and then that's the way we bet marbles. And then
oh, you bet marbles on the races.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And you played marbles too.
We played marbles too, and all the other places.
Yeah, we didn't have enough room for softball.
Well, we didn't have no, they wouldn't let us have a bat.
No bat?
No bat. They wouldn't just let us. One of them got hit in the head one time with a bat, and they took them all away.
That was the end of that, huh? And what did the girls do? They played.
I don't know what the girls did.
While we're sitting here talking, there's Howard's wife is here, and right. Howard's wife is Florence, and it was Lehman, L-A-M-O-N, and so she's now Florence Shearhart. She knows something about that. What year did you enter school, Florence?
Well, I was born 1911, and then we had to be 6 years old then before we could start school.
So about 1960.
Right. And then I also went to this little two-story school over there, and we were talking about this board fence. Then she was Sharer, now she married a hoodster from La Paz. But she and I stayed with my grandma Keller here in Castroville, and we made our communion. And for 3 weeks before we made our communion, we were not allowed to talk hardly to each other. And when we had recess, we would have to take our roses, and we all, each one by herself, had a walk along this board fence, and so far apart, and pray the roses for 3 weeks before we made our communion.
It was sort of like a retreat before you began.
That was our penance, and we weren't allowed to speak to none of the other students in school, except in class or when we had our religious classes and this and that. And we always had our instruction from Father Huffman that was upstairs in the northwest room. And I sat in the corner desk, and I had orders when I would hear Father Levinson come up that step.
Father Huffman.
Come up that step. I had to open the door for him. And we all had to get up, and we took place to Jesus Christ Father, but we said it in German.
How would you say that in German?
The Lob sei Jesus Christus Herr Gott. And we would say, "For nun an dich in die Ewigkeit."
Praise be Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ Father, and he would say, "From now on until into eternity." And we were never allowed to say good morning or hello or nothing like that to our sisters or to our priests.
It was always the Lob sei Jesus Christus.
Always. And we would have to greet our sisters coming, and indeed when we leave school, sister would stand by that board fence gate, and each one would have to say, "Praise to Jesus Christ, sister," and that was our goodbye for the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, what kind of games did the girls play?
Well, we had at that time these wide sidewalks there, made out of these big flat rocks, and we would have our little pieces of scrap chalk, which we couldn't use on the blackboards no more, and we would make our hopscotch games on there, and some would bring little dolls maybe to school, and I don't know, with different little games we played, like Red Rover, and all things like that.
But one thing is certain, the boys played where the boys played, and the girls played where the girls played.
Right, and when school was out, the girls had a walk on one side of the street, and the boys on the other side.
To go home.
And they better be on their side, because Sister Michelle knew next morning who wasn't on their side when we got to school. And if she called one of us, why, our recess for about a week was right 100 lines. I should walk on my side of the street.
Okay.
Instead of having recess.
Now, let me ask you this, Howard. You were telling me about the ground. So there was the school building and the fence. There was the big convent. Now, there was also the little first church was there. What was the little first church used for When you were in school.
When I made my communion, every Monday, I don't know whether it was Monday or Wednesday, at 5 o'clock we had our instruction by Father Hackman. He come over in that little building, and that's where we walked from school to communion, or communicant. We walked from school over down by the little building, and he come back.
Well, Father Hackman taught in that little school.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. He didn't come over to the big
church. No, he never come over. He taught his part in that church, that little church.
Then there was the big convent building where the sisters lived. Now, you say they also had, in the rest of that block, they had that barn you were talking about.
Yeah.
Who lived in that two-story brick house, that two-story rock house, the priest's house? Who lived
in that
there?
House, I don't know who lived there.
The house was already there, though.
The house was there, but...
All right, there was a barn, and then they had, did they have cows? And
they had milk cows, yeah.
And gardens and everything.
Yeah.
All on that ground.
All on that ground. But it was all on that side of the building.
On the west side, back there. Well, now, did they have a fence around their property?
Sure. They had a fence around it. The outside fence was a solid post fence, too.
Also.
But later on, of course, rather than it was a picket fence. You know,
and that was the picket fence that the boys went over with the pigeon deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And getting back to the kitchen deal, Sunday morning then we went to church. And you better be there. If you wasn't in church Sunday morning, you better have a written statement where you were.
Did the school children, the boys and girls, did they kneel up in front, or where did they kneel?
They were kneeling in front where those little benches were.
Oh, you had little benches
at that time. The boys was on one side and the girls was on the other.
And all of you left your mothers and daddies and went up to the front?
They were in the back and we went in the front.
And the sisters knelt with you?
And they was in back of them. There was one or two on each side. And the sister, Miss Ella, she was the...
Did y'all behave yourselves?
You better.
If
you didn't, we let you know. And at 1 o'clock, we had to go to school and go to instructions again.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
From
1 to 2 and in the afternoon, they had
Vespers.
You had to go there, and if you wasn't there, you...
What time were the Vespers in the afternoon?
About 2:30 or 2.
And most of the people stayed and went to Vespers?
Yeah.
How many Masses did they have on Sunday at that time? One or two?
They had one, a high Mass, Rachel. They never had no two Masses. Rachel and then Vespers in the afternoon.
So you had Mass in the morning and then Vespers in the afternoon.
Right.
And people came to church, I guess, in buggies.
Well, yeah, when some people that come from the country, they had relatives here, they had lots to put out, and they stayed over noon in the evening went home.
And they would eat with the relatives or have a picnic of some kind or something.
So Sunday morning after that picnic, we went to church, you know. I don't know nothing about this picnic business. And, some girl, this girl here was the candidate. She told them who they were. They were Shehart boys. Well, I don't want to mention their names. And of course, I'm a Shehart, and when we went to church, and when we went out of church, Sister Marcella, Sister Teresa, passed all the way from Bronx in out of the door. The church was several of us stepping as one way down. 6 inches, 2 inches out, she pulled him to the side and corrected him. Anyway, that Sunday morning, she pulled me to the side, and she said, "You wait a while." So he waited till all the people were gone. And I was standing there. I said, "Wonder what she wants now then." He said, "Where was you last night?" I said, "I was at home," and I said, "That spook, she hit me on the side of the head." And she says, "I asked you where you was last night." I said, "I told you I was at home." And she swung at me again, and I ducked, and I ran out, and I went home. So when we come at 1 o'clock, went back in that school building to get for them instructions,